This is 2012 on Triple J.
Billy Corgan, thanks for dropping by and having a chat to us. Welcome back to Australia as well.
Thank you very much.
Have you been having fun in Byron? You've been here a few days, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been at the beach and it's so beautiful here. It's really a spiritual place and really enjoying my time here.
So have you been here before and spent much time?
I've actually never been up here. I'm surprised, but now that I'm here, I definitely want to come back.
Yeah, fantastic. Listen, you guys are on a roll at the moment. I know everything seems to be in good order within the band. You're enjoying the bandmates around you?
True.
It's all good? Everything I've been reading is true?
True, yeah.
Okay. It must be interesting being in a band that sort of crosses so many generations, I guess, because the youngest member is, what, early 20s?
Yeah, he's 22, Mike. He joined when he was 19, actually. So he's, we have 22-year-old. I think Nicole's 32 or 33. Jeff's 37, and I'm 45. So, yeah, we definitely span different generations, different musical perspectives. It's interesting because it has created sort of a different melting pot effect, where in the original band, we were all sort of from the same generation, obviously, and so our influences were very similar.
So how wide are the influences now? Do you have some pretty funny conversations in the tour bus?
Well, we always joke, Mike always listens to all these indie bands, This the Bear and Somebody's Bear and Bear That. He's even in a band called Bear or something. So I don't know. All the bands are bear bands. That's all I know.
So listen, I want to talk to you about your guitar sound, because the first thing I knew as soon as I heard this record was you were playing guitar. Now, do you ever look at the guitar and just feel uninspired by the instrument?
No, I think when I struggle with a guitar, it's more of a mental issue. The guitar is not the problem. It's my head that's the problem. I love the guitar, and my father was an incredible guitar player. So unlike maybe most people got into alternative rock, I grew up with a father who had a very high standard of guitar playing. And so my approach to guitar is probably more rooted in other things, not alternative rock, even though obviously I've helped to create some of the alternative rock language on guitar. So I kind of struggle with sort of other issues that don't have anything to do with alternative rock.
So what sort of stuff were you exposed to thanks to your father?
My father loved soul music, R&B music. So whether it was Stevie Wonder or Sly and the Family Stone or Al Green or the Dramatics or the Shy Lights, all these great, you know, soul acts of the late 60s, early 70s, Motown, obviously, Stax music. But then he loved blues guitar players like Albert King. And then by extension, then, of course, he loved Stevie Ray Vaughan. So, you know, when you come from that very high standard of guitar playing, you know, that's always been sort of this other factor in my head that, you know, doesn't necessarily run alongside the alternative rock DIY, who cares if it's in tune and all this. I didn't grow up with that, you know.
With all of those influences coming into play, it's the great thing, and this is a compliment, is that you've got your own distinctive sound, which I know a lot of guitarists are really proud about when they achieve that.
Yeah, I think part of what's going on with me is I've stopped maybe exploring in the guitar as much and more sort of just fallen back in love with my style. And so some people say on OCNA like I've gone back to a certain style, and I get that on the surface of it, but what it really is, I've just decided to play my style again and stop sort of trying to develop new styles, because I'm just not as interested in the guitar as I used to be. I'm much more interested in melody and different types of production. So I think I've just kind of sort of just accepted, okay, that's the way I play guitar. I'm not going to really spend much more energy developing it, a new language in it, and I'm going to try to develop other different languages that can go with my guitar playing. And I think that's sort of where OCNA kind of comes back in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to the record feeling like it was a step forward, but it was also kind of reflecting on the past for you, because there was that distinctive sound there.
I think that's fairly accurate, but I don't feel it's... some people have assumed that I wanted to get back to something. I didn't. It was more just an acceptance. It was like saying, what can I take from my experience in music, and how can I put these pieces together in a way that I still feel inspired? And, you know, I love that sound. I mean, that's my sound, you know. And you know, so when it cranks up like that, I still get that same rush that I got when I listened to Black Sabbath as a kid. So it's that feeling that I'm looking for. It's not a sentimental thing.
Yeah, in the 90s, the thing about the Smashing Pumpkins was that each album was really successful, but you were really determined to keep pushing forward with the sound of the band. Looking back now, do you think that was a wise move? Because... you know, some of the records are really favorably reviewed and other ones not so.
I think in the short term, no, it was a bad idea in the sense that it hurt us and really took power out of our hands that we had manifested. In the long term, I think it has everything to do with the longevity of the band's music because, and of course, none of us could have anticipated this in the 90s, the way the internet's broken into so many different niche categories. We have fans of the band that come because they like a goth song or they like an electronic song. And so the band has such a wide appeal now, so much more broad than many of our grunge contemporaries who really only had one sound. So we've really benefited long term from the diversity of the band, but short term it hurt us because when alternative rock got very kind of simplistic as far as what was getting played on the radio, albums like Adore and Machina were really hurt by. If we would have just done what we'd been doing only years before, we probably still would have gotten played because the songs were good. People just didn't like the sound and the production.
Yeah. When you stand up on stage in 2012 as Smashing Pumpkins, who do you see out in the crowd?
It's interesting. I see a really different blend of faces. We've always been lucky in that we attract men and women pretty equally. And I'm proud of that because I think the music appeals to people for more heart reasons than, say, gender reasons or political reasons. And but it's nice to see a whole new generation of fans. Like, we just played in Perth, and the audience was really young. In a way, and I say this with humility, we've kind of chased off some of the older audience that came back for the sort of sentimental, have their 90s moment again. And so what we've done, though, is by being sort of progressive and sticking with it, we've attracted a younger audience now, and I think we're going to start to see the older audience come back because they're going to start snooping around saying what's happening. Because when we weren't going to be Siamese Dream Part 2, those people got disappointed and went home. But it made us tougher again, it made me tougher again, and it made me figure out a way to start getting kids in. And at the end of the day, and I say this with total respect, kids are always the heart of rock and roll. Old fogies really, you know, you could sit there and ride your coattails all you want. Kids really have their finger on the pulse of what's happening. And if you don't have kids in your crowd, you're lost because they really have a sense of something that only comes with youth.
Okay, fantastic. Listen, Billy Corgan, we could talk for hours. Just a quick question. You're going to be closing Splendor in the Grass tonight. Are there many 90s moments still on the set list for Smashing Pumpkins?
Well, by 90s moments, do you mean me breaking things and yelling at people, or do you mean me playing a song that might be familiar to the crowd?
I was talking about the latter.
Yeah, we have a few of those songs in there. I think what's nice about the set we play is we don't pander to anything. It's a nice way to touch the different eras of the band, but it's certainly not, we're not a slave to anything, and we play lots of new material, and we even play a few covers, so it's a fun set.
Fantastic. I've seen you a number of times, and I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight, so thanks, Billy Corgan.
Thank you. God bless.